Well, I'm so excited to be here today. And as we mentioned, we've known each other for a long time, so it's kind of a reunion time. But it's kind of grounded in how we came to know each other and became friends. I grew up in Central Texas, so if you can't understand my accent, it's because... but anyhow, because of moving across the country and serving in different churches, I landed in Memphis. And so when I was in Memphis, I got to meet Dr. Tina, and we became immediate friends. And so what we had in common was not only a love for learning and education and growing and developing people, but we also had the total foundation of the love for God. And so as I grew up in my little German community of Texas, Central Texas, I grew up not even knowing how it was to not be a part of the faith or the church. So I was... I'm not only baptized, I have my baptism picture actually in my office and get to remember that every day about how the Lord's grace just goes before us and is a part of our life even before we might be aware of it. And so as we think about that, I grew up in the church and I can remember being in the third grade and my grandmother, someone leaned over to my grandmother in church and said, "Which one is your granddaughter?" And she said, "The loud one in the middle, fire." I still love to proclaim the good news of the gospel in different ways and in different venues. And so I am honored and privileged to be here. So as I grew in my faith, there have been times when I was not walking as closely as the Lord that as I wish I would have at the time. But those seasons... the good news is that there's hope that those seasons, just like spring comes around, can be renewed and can be refreshed and can come alive again in powerful ways. And so as I grew, my college years were very fruitful. And as I've served in local churches for 17 years and then was a part of the higher education system for 13 years, God has brought me back into a local church ministry in the last 3 years. So it's getting to become home again and be a part of a thriving and exciting body of Christ here in the Atlanta area is where I live.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love hearing that, and I actually learned a little bit about you as you shared that. Well, help me. I want to set the stage for our listeners.
Okay.
I asked you, Dr. Elaine, to be interviewed today because you've modeled for me and many others how to walk victoriously with the Lord through different seasons of life. We've known each other for a long time, and in those years, I've watched you draw close to the Lord in seasons of divorce, financial challenges, job changes, relocation, and loss of dreams. These are the same seasons the over 1,100 women we surveyed indicated were their greatest struggles in life. In an effort to encourage our listeners to walk victoriously with the Lord through these seasons, I've asked you to be interviewed. I believe the Lord, through you, can give voice to how we as believers can survive and thrive through these various seasons. Tell us more about these seasons of life you've experienced.
Okay, well, I want to go even before you and I met, Dr. Tina. And the Lord just is always so gracious, even though we may not understand things at the very time we're going through them. I was on staff at a large church in the Dallas area, and so one of the things that they gave to their staff was to give their staff members a month sabbatical for study as individuals were on staff for 5 years or more. So every 5 years, you got a month sabbatical.
Hey, how wonderful.
I know. What a blessing. What a blessing. So I was working on my PhD at the time, and so I had planned and scheduled that time away so that I can work on my dissertation, the big thing that that we all do going through that kind of a program. And so as the time came to where I was going to be gone, my mother was put in the hospital. And so as she went into the hospital, we realized that she had pancreatic cancer. And it was one of those things that was very trying. But at the same time, it was a five-hour drive from where I was living in Dallas to my hometown in Central Texas. And so as I was going there to be with her, I got to be with her day and night because that time had been scheduled off a year and a half in advance to be gone. Mm-hmm. And so everything in my job in Dallas had been delegated out. People were taking care of all of the details. So I was able to be with and focus on my mother during that time. Mm-hmm. And so I count that period of time as a bittersweet period of time mm-hmm. because it was tremendous agony and pain to walk through that kind of an illness with someone that you love so dear, like a parent. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I would not trade that time for anything because I was there with her mm-hmm. and getting to experience life together in those last days of her life here on earth. And so as I was able to be with her, I grew so much in my faith and had so much hope for eternity because it came down to this time that you think, okay, do you really believe in this God who promises eternal life? And when you have that with someone that you love dearly, you are holding on to that. Mm-hmm. One of my memories during that very difficult time was a hospice nurse, and I will always be grateful to hospice. And she was like an angel to me during that time. She was on one side of my mother holding her hand, and I was on the other side. And we were in the hospital, and my mother, who was in her 50s, early 50s at the time, said, "I'm not ready to die. I'm not ready to die." And I said, "I don't even know what to say because here am I, the loud one in the middle who always has something to say, and I couldn't speak anything." Mm-hmm. So this wonderful nurse said, oh, wait until you see Jesus. Mm. And so I finally, God gave me enough grace and the ability to say, you know, in the scriptures, it says a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. So I'll see you tomorrow. Mm. And so as I stood on the faith that was in my life that had been given to me since childbirth, mm-hmm. that I had the opportunity to lean on God's ever faithfulness. Mm-hmm. And actually, during that period of time, it was my turn to stay the night at the hospital, and I knew that the end was near. And as we entered that evening of the last night of her life, all I had was my Bible and my hymnal. Mm. The hymns are very precious to me. They contain so much rich theology, and I'm so excited that the church is bringing that into a contemporary format to teach the concepts of the faith to the next generation. But mm-hmm. I remember sitting on that bed in the hospital and singing to her, "Great is thy faithfulness. Mm. Morning by morning, new mercies I see." Mm-hmm. And so even in the midst of that bittersweet time in my life, God was so faithful because he gave me the strength to go through another day, even as difficult as it was to walk alongside my mother in those last days. And so it was a powerful thing when she was released into the Father's care, and mm-hmm. as all of my family members joined around her in the hospital bed, lifting her up to the Lord as we gave her wholly to the presence of God in that time of family faith together. And that was such a powerful time in my life. At one time, I was, you know, very, very upset with all the emotions that I was going through. But on the other hand, I count those days and hours and minutes as so precious because I was able to experience that with my family. So as time has gone by, I moved to Memphis and was able to be a part of several dynamic churches in that area. And so I had gotten married, and I was 36 when I got married, so it was later in life than most people. And it was a joyous time, but as Dr. Tina mentioned, it did not end well. It was one of those situations where many things were working toward resolution, counseling, prayer, all kinds of things, and there were just so many things that were broken in my life that finally in 2005, that marriage ended in divorce. And as someone who is a believer and someone who has been on a church staff, that was so difficult to go through because of just the stigma and the way that divorce is looked upon. And so it was a difficult period of time, but at the same time, it was an opportunity to move forward and to begin life again in a fresh and new way. So as I walked through that situation, God was with me in a powerful way, and that year, 2005, was not only the death of my marriage, but there were three significant people in my life who had been who had passed away. One of my dear friends in January had committed suicide, and that was a painful period of time to go through because of all of those questions that we ask. What should I have done? What could I have done? And all of those things, we want to reach out because they're our friends or our family, and we live with that always wishing what we could have done or should have done in order to help that person in a new and different way. And so that was a difficult time, but I knew that in the midst of that, that there are illnesses and things that we may not even comprehend this side of heaven that go on chemically in the brain to cause some of the mental illnesses that might lead to something like this, where people despair so much that they can't think of any other way out of their situation. So on the heels of that, one of my dear friends in the Memphis area was murdered. And so as I went through that, it was such a waste of life from the perspective on this side of heaven. On the other side, we may have a different view of what all transpired, but a beautiful, beautiful, inside and out, 39-year-old woman who was basically murdered, who was just so full of life, so full of joy. And so then the third death that happened in that year was a dear friend who was like 94, and she slipped peacefully off to be with the Lord. And so all of those things, 2005 was a very difficult year, dealing with the death of a marriage, the death of a dear friend through suicide, the death of a friend through murder, and then a death of someone, a saint who had lived a great life walking with the Lord. Very different types of death. But as we look at those things, they were all a time of mourning, a time of winter. I like to think about our spiritual life as being like seasons. And there are seasons in our life where we do have a little bit of despair. We have our evidence of newness is gone. It's kind of like winter. I know not everyone has a true winter season. If you live in Florida or the tropics and parts of the world like that, but if we think about the four seasons in life, in 2005, that was my winter. And so sometimes when we're going through things like that, we get paralyzed. We sometimes don't even know how to move forward. We are just numb by the experiences that have happened around us.
And it's in those very situations that many people will turn their back on God.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think people either, they either look at that and they move on, or they live their life in bitterness and anger, and they are never able to move on because they have had that experience and can't rectify how God can be visible during that time.
And they really sometimes have the false perception of God, or start believing lies that God has abandoned them in that time. Because sometimes we can't feel God's presence in the midst of such pain, so we think he must not be there. We end up trusting our feelings versus the truth that God is always there, regardless of whether you feel him or not. We have to rely on Scripture, and Scripture tells us he'll never forsake us. He doesn't abandon us. He's very much there. And some people end up relying on their own strength. So they resolve to pull themselves up by their bootstraps and say, well, if God's not with me, I'm going to go it alone and I'll do just fine. Have you ever felt that way, particularly in 2005, going through all these significant losses?
Well, I think you hit on a key word, Dr. Tina, and that is feel. That I know that as we walk with the Lord in our life, there are times where we feel close. When I'm singing an anthem in the choir, and I can hardly even say the words because the veil between here and heaven is so thin that I don't even have words to say. That I feel close to God.
Yes,
I think that one of the things to help you through such transitions, whether it's life or divorce or death, whatever it might be, is to stand on what we know to be true. And regardless of what our feelings might be, to stand firm in the faith that is revealed through God's Word. And so as we stand on that firm foundation of God's Word, we may be able to move forward. It may not be as quickly or as we would want it or like it to be, but sometimes we just have to stay put. And in those times when we may not feel, it's just as important to be waiting on God as when we do feel close to Him. I go back to the hymns because they're really precious to me, but the hymn, Have Thine Own Way, the chorus goes, while I am waiting, yielded, and still. Sometimes when we're going through this season, the best thing that we can do is to wait on God, like we're in God's waiting room during this season, and yield to Him whatever feelings we maybe have. We may be anger, but that's okay because God can take that.
Yes.
And we may need to think about how we are just being still and not trying to take it into our own hands and fix it ourselves. Because that's a human tendency, right? And I think it's probably more a tendency with women to want to go in and help the situation, mother the situation, fix the situation. And there are times when we're going through these transitions that we do need to just wait and be still and rely on the truth that is revealed in God's Word. Well, so as we are around, not only God's Word to be able to have that as a foundation, but to surround ourselves with people of faith who can just be with us. Being with us is more important during those times of despair and difficulty than trying to tell us how everything is going to be fixed and all right sometimes.
Yes, yes. Well, what have you been able to do that allowed you to be open to God, that perhaps God allowed these different seasons for a purpose? How did you get to that place of standing on your faith, being in the waiting room, surrounding yourself with people of faith?
I think it is, partly I am an extrovert, so I do like having people around me. But during these times of transition, I've had to pull away. You know, Jesus pulled away in order to focus and be with the Father. Mm. And so I think sometimes we need to pull ourselves into different directions so that God might teach us something new.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think having an understanding that what you're going through may be temporal, but wanting to see the bigger picture, even though we can't see it right now, is something that will help us to make it through the light at the end of the tunnel, if you will, or knowing that spring is on the verge of coming while it's snowing outside in the winter.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you know, I'm just reminded of that now because it's spring. I don't know about where in Tennessee, but everything's blooming and everything is becoming alive.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, when we are going through difficult times, we just have to remember that spring is around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Because it may be silent in the winter. We can't see the trees grow. We can't see the grass grow. But we know that it's there. The same thing is with the Lord. We may not be able to feel him. We may not be able to experience him in a new way. But let us just be still and be, and the Lord will come forth and show us the lessons that we can learn during those times.
Mm, yes, yes. So what I really hear you saying is that you've got to make a choice.
Absolutely.
And you're going to either choose to turn your back on God, or you're going to choose to say, even though I don't feel close to you, and even though I don't like what is happening in my life right now, I'm going to wait on you in your timing to work this out for my good and for your purpose and glory. And I'm going to be intentional about, yes, surrounding myself with people, but then also be intentional about having that time alone with the Lord. We call it sitting in the ashes in my class. I'm teaching a Hope Beyond Loss class that is 10 weeks long, and it really focuses on what we've been talking about being intentional to say, oh, this is so hard, Lord, and this is what I'm struggling with, anger, bitterness, fear, worry, anxiety, but I'm going to be intentional to sit in the ashes with you and to wait on you. And I am going to do exactly what you said, stand on God's promises, hold on to them, stand on what we know to be true, which is the Bible, God's infallible word, and that it gives us truth. And even though we may read scripture and says, that doesn't seem to quite ring true right now, that doesn't mean it's not going to. And have that perspective that this life is temporal and we are really being prepared for eternity with God the Father for those who confess that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior.
Absolutely. And I think you touched on a great word, the choice. I think too often people think they don't have a choice and that they just go with what they feel.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have a choice.
Yes.
God has given us the ability to choose.
Yes.
Sometimes by not choosing that intentionality, not choosing that, we go into the other way, but we still have chosen not to go forward. We've chosen to stay in the ashes.
Yes, yes.
And so to kind of continue that story, so when I went through my divorce, it was a very difficult time. In the sense of a lot of loss of not only a marriage, but financial loss, just a lot of things that were a part of that. And so as God in his graciousness is so faithful, there was an opportunity for a position that I didn't get, and I was devastated about that as well because I thought it would be such a great fit. But then God opened another door, and this other door that opened gave me incredible opportunity. And so as I went through that time of divorce, I was left with a huge amount of debt. But this new opportunity that God opened allowed me to be able to not only pay off all of those debts, but to be able to be financially even greater than before I even came to that marriage.
Yes.
I always look at Joel 2:25 because he talks about being repaying us for all the years that the locusts ate. So his faithfulness, even through those difficult times, when you don't see the reason behind this door opening, this door closing, is that he is still trying to have all things come together for our good, even though we may not see everything immediately. And it wasn't until 10, 11 years after that I said, oh my gosh, Lord, you are so good. I did not even put that together.
Yes.
That you are restoring all of those for those years that the locusts ate, so that now you have put me into a position to where I can serve and be joyful without that overhanging hanging over my head with the idea of debt and loss financially. And so that opportunity turned into really great and exciting things. And not only that, but as I moved from a position to be able to stay a little bit closer to home, that job change was another time that the Lord just said, it's time for a new chapter in your life. And I was on the road a lot with my previous position. It was taking a toll on my body, my health, and so God opened the opportunity for me to be able to just be in a close proximity to my home. Before, my office was in Washington, D.C., even though I lived here in Atlanta, so I was on the road all the time. And now God opened this other door so that my commute is 2.5 miles.
Oh, I love it. Yes.
Down the road.
Yes.
And I'm having more joy now than I've had. When I was going through that job transition, one of the things that I did was to seek spiritual advice. People who have known me a long time. And so the Quakers have a great tradition. They call it the clearing committee. So they're kind of clearing and asking questions about how God's going to use you, what's God doing in your life. And I didn't live close with people in that realm who had been my spiritual leaders over all of the years. So I used technology and used FaceTime and the internet and Skype and in person. But as I looked at that, one of my spiritual directors said, Elaine, God never wastes experiences. So whatever you might be going through, whether it's a painful experience, whether it's a skill, a knowledge of an industry or a career, that God can somehow weave all of those things together for the purpose that's coming up in your life. So it's not seen as job loss, as in a negative, but that God is going to use those experiences, even the negative ones, to be able to pave a way forward for us as we believe.
Well, on that note, we need to wrap up our time, and what I'd like to do is pray with you right now for our listeners.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, okay. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we are so grateful that you helped us to persevere, and that Mr. Stevie Ray, Dr. Elaine, and myself are all well to be able to do this interview today. And this is just like having coffee. with Dr. Elaine. We could talk for hours. It is so great to hear the truth that regardless of what our listeners are going through, to really allow the Lord to frame it positively, to frame it that this is really an opportunity for the Lord to use your pain to mold you into the image of Jesus, to not trust your feelings, but trust God's word, to make that choice that you are going to follow Jesus Christ regardless of what comes along your path. You are going to hold on to his promises. And that with time, just like Dr. Elaine shared, we're able to look back and say, oh, thank you for not giving me that job that I thought I wanted. Because, boy, the way you blessed me was above and beyond anything I could have asked or imagined. We need to believe God that he knows best for us, that his ways are better for us than our ways, and that in the time that it's difficult to sit in the ashes with God, don't turn your back on him, but sit in the ashes with him and allow him to mend our broken heart and to work this out for our good, for his glory. So, Lord, help us to surround ourselves with those individuals who are on fire for Christ. Thank you that being with Dr. Elaine, even through the miles of her being in Atlanta and me in Tennessee, she's someone I love to spend time with and talk with and connect with because she so much reveals to the world how to walk victoriously day to day. I trust you'll continue to bless her, Lord, as you continue to use her in ministry. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.